That's great. Last week we mentioned Pentecost because we had a talk on that. So this week we're doing a second and final talk on Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm really excited about what God's shown me. Last week we said that in Pentecost God sent his Spirit on all flesh, male, female, old, young. There were no exceptions to God's Spirit exploding on them. And for everyone who wanted it, all of them spoke in tongues as a sign that the Holy Spirit had come. Tongues means that God works for us so we can rest from trying to work things out for ourselves. It's what you do when you run out of all your own ideas. Like, I've not got any more ideas, God, I'll just pray in tongues. Maybe we should try it first, you know, that might be a good idea. Instead, we'll wait until last. God's power was released at Pentecost, and now, unbelievably, absolutely unbelievably, we have the same Spirit and the same power in us as Jesus. And that's just mind-blowing. But that is the truth of the matter. So the date of Pentecost changed the disciples and the followers of Jesus forever. They were never the same again. Peter the fearful became Peter the fearless, and he preached to thousands of people that day. And when Peter spoke in the power of the Holy Spirit, remember, this is the man that ran away when Jesus was being crucified. This is a man that was so frightened that he denied Jesus three times. He became so bold within the power of the Holy Spirit on him that he preached, and 3,000 people were saved in one day. Not even in 1 month or 1 week, but in one day. Quite incredible when God's power falls. So here's a question. Do we want our life to change? Do we want some things to be different? Well, if we want different results, we need to experience Pentecost for ourselves. We can still have it today. Stop doing things in our own strength and start doing them in God's strength. When we release the power of God in tongues, we are releasing Pentecost. Who knows what the enemy sees in the spirit? The minute we speak in tongues, the little flames of fire pop up in our head, and the enemy sees them and goes, Holy Spirit alert, Holy Spirit alert, you know, and runs for cover. I don't know what happens, but I just know power is released when we start to speak in tongues. And all things have to change. Just like Peter, we will never be the same again. I'm reminded right now, it's not even in my notes, I'm reminded of a story that my friend told me. It happened to her. She works in a helpline. I can't remember the name of the helpline. It wasn't Samaritans, but it was a Christian helpline where people could, it might have even just been called helpline. That kind of rings a bell. People would phone in that were really struggling, suicidal and all the rest of it. So she'd been on the phones till say 9 o'clock that night, and she was due to clock off. And her friend got a phone call, and the person on the other end of the phone was frantic, and they had lots of demonic things hanging off their life. So the man on the phone signaled to my friend, just stay, could you please just stay and pray in tongues while I'm on the phone to this lady, because this lady sounds really, really distraught. So my friend is silently almost praying in tongues. There's no way the person on the other end of the line could hear that she was praying in tongues. But because of all the spiritual activity around her, she said to the person on the phone, and whoever's praying in tongues right now, you can tell them to stop. You just don't know the power. We release the power of Pentecost when we start to speak in tongues. Flames fly from our tongue into the situation, and we'll never be the same again. So here's a question. When did we last speak in tongues? Perhaps that's our answer. You know, when did we last do it? If we want to see God's power, we must release God's power by speaking in tongues. It's something that we need to make an effort to do, and we need to do it on purpose. Having tongues and not using them is like having a powerful car sitting in the drive. We know it's there, but we never use it. Imagine that, James. You've got a powerful car sitting in the driveway and you don't use it. Or Marion, for that matter. You know, hello. You know, it's a complete waste of power. You know, James, you give me a Ferrari, son, and I'll use it. You know, you turn up with a lotus, and I can tell you, I will be the first one to go round and round a bit with it. Neil and I were sitting in this posh hotel once. I won't advertise anywhere. We only went for coffee. So we're sitting in the lounge of this posh hotel, but you could actually hire a Ferrari or something, and or a lotus, and get a wee shot. So there's a roundabout outside the hotel, and some chap's getting in. I don't know if it was a lotus or a Ferrari, but it was posh, and it was fast. And he's going for a wee drive round the grounds, and so I'm nudging Neil. Anytime you want to buy me that present, you know, I will be there. You put a Ferrari in my driveway and it won't sit there gathering dust. I love cars. I love fast cars, fancy cars. I love vintage cars. You want to give me a birthday present? Give me a shot and chitty chitty bang bang. I'd love to drive that car. You know, I love the old cars and all the wee gadgets and the things that they do. I used to have a Volkswagen Beetle with the chrome trim and everything, and I love things like that. But that's what it's like. If we had a Ferrari sitting in our driveway and not using it, the neighbours would think we're nuts. They go, they just polish that. You know, they just dust it every so often. I'd be out driving it. Or it's like having riches in the bank but never spending them and acting like paupers. Say, well, I'm poor, I'm poor, I don't have enough money. Meanwhile, there's £1 million in the bank. Folks, we're not poor and we're not paupers. We're children of the King. And if we need an answer to the question, the King has the answer. Or whatever the problem is, whatever our situation, God has the answer. But we need to bring God into the situation by speaking in tongues. We're filled with his power, but if we don't know it, we won't use it. You know, not using tongues is like being all dressed up with nowhere to go. There's a revelation for you. And here's another revelation. Not using tongues means we're clothed in power, but going nowhere. It's a bit like this, if you want to think. Imagine the Queen. Imagine the Queen gets dressed up in all her regalia. She puts on her coronation gown, puts on her coronation robes. You know, these big red robes all trimmed with the white fur. She puts on her coronation crown that I believe she had to practice walking with. It's so heavy with diamonds and sapphires. And, you know, we've not got that problem, Bridget, but anytime you want to buy her them, that's fine, you know. So the Queen's got the crown on, she's got the robes on, she's got the orb and the scepter, and she gets all dressed up. She's got the largest diamonds and sapphires in the world. And she sits down for a cup of tea to watch the telly. You know, it's a complete waste of effort. It's a waste of her position. It's a waste of riches. And it's a waste of power. And that's what it's like when we just check tongues off on the checklist and go, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I've done that. That's fine. And we never use it. The Ferrari is gathering dust. We need to unleash the beast, you know. Unleash the power of God. What a waste of power. And sometimes we are guilty of the same waste of power. God's power lives on the inside of us, but we have to release it. And I am preaching to myself. I will go home and listen to this lesson. Sandra, you need to release tongues more. You need to release the power more. And we do that by opening our mouth and speaking in tongues. Isaiah 43 and verse 19 says this. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands or desert. God is doing a new thing. Do we perceive it? Can we see what God wants to do? Do we believe that God can make a way in our wilderness and do a new thing for us? Do we really believe that, or has the enemy got us so hoodwinked into thinking it will never change our situation? God will never bring anything new. But this scripture says the complete opposite. So we either believe the word of God or we're believing the lies of the enemy. This says he can make streams flow in the middle of a desert. But how? Well, last week we read the scripture from John 7 and verse 38. And it says this, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not just one river, but rivers. The word is plural. Well, if rivers of living water are going to flow, then that's enough water to fill any desert and transform any wilderness. In Australia, in the Northern Territory, there's a river called the Todd River. Now, hold on to your seats here. I have walked on the Todd River. Now, I've not quite mastered walking on water yet. At the time, the river was bone dry. We just walked on it. It was just red. It's really red soil and red sand in Australia, like Ayers Rock, you know. So it was just red sand, and it was just bone dry. And so we were laughing about the fact that we were walking on the Todd River in Northern Australia. And it's absolutely, completely bone dry. But when the rain comes, when the water comes, that river comes back to life, and there's no way I'd be able to walk on it. You know, I'd be way under if when that happens. God has living water that brings life to us too. And that living water is meant to flow out of our belly, like that scripture said. The living water is the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit wants to flow and bring life to our dry places, just like the rains do when they come in the Northern Territory after the drought, and they fill every river and gully and billabong. It all gets filled up, and everything comes back to life. God's Holy Spirit wants to flow and bring that life to us. If we have a dry area or a barren area in our life, the answer is the Holy Spirit. I don't know what your question is today that you're asking God, but I know what the answer is. The answer is the Holy Spirit, and it's as close to us as our tongue that we can start to release it. The answer is to speak in tongues until new life begins to flow. We are the ones who need to let God's river flow in our lives. Having the Holy Spirit is like having a secret weapon on the inside of us, right in the center of our being, in our belly. It's a weapon that will take us higher and further than we ever dreamed possible, and it wants to flow out of us like streams of living water and bring life. Also, when we lived in Australia, you'd be looking at your grass, and in the dry season, the grass would go as brown as this floor. It would be that light brown color, and some patches of it would actually be burnt black. You'd have patches the size of a football, and they'd just be burnt black all over your lawn. They wouldn't be, they can't do green grass there. They can do lots of amazing things, but they don't really do much green grass in Queensland when it's a dry season. And so I'd be looking at this lawn thinking, well, that's a dead patch. That'll need reseeded. That's a dead patch. That would need reseeded. And you think you've lost your lawn. You think it's gone because it's so dry. But when the rain comes, it just takes a couple of days and all these green shoots come up and life starts to flow the minute the water flows. The minute the rains are there, we get new life. God wants to flow in our deadness, no matter how black it looks, no matter how dead it looks. And tongues is how his power flows. It lets God do a new thing in our lives. So if we want the new thing, we need to do what God's telling us to do. Do we perceive it? Are we speaking it? Here's a challenge for all of us. I will rise to this challenge that I'm going to give myself today right now. How about every single day that we're in the shower this week or the bath, we speak in tongues? The whole time you're in the shower. We're just speaking tongues the whole time we're in the shower. And let's see if that makes a difference to the questions in our lives. Let's see if that makes a difference to our levels of peace, our levels of joy, our levels of contentment, our levels of power. Let's see if it makes a difference. Let's challenge ourselves to do that, to speak in tongues every day for the next month, just for the few minutes that we're either in the shower or driving the car or making the breakfast or whatever. There's a challenge if you want to rise to it. I'm going to challenge myself to do that. So what if God wants to do a new thing, but we're not ready? What if he's sitting there going, I'd love to give you that new thing, Sandra. I'm absolutely itching to give you that new thing. You know, it's like our children. They can ask for something and think, yeah, I really do want to give you a puppy for Christmas, but you're only three, so guess who'll be walking it and picking up the poo? It won't be you. So how about we'll wait till you're 16 and then we'll give you one. There's your dog. Off you go. You can do it. So your child's not ready for it. So God's up in heaven and he wants to give me something new and he wants to do a new thing in my life, but I'm not ready for it. What if that's the situation? We want the new thing, but we're not prepared. You know, a farmer doesn't sow seeds without first preparing the ground. He gets all the fertilizer in there, and he gets rid of all the weeds and everything. Fallow ground is land that isn't planted. It's been left vacant for a reason, for a time. It's good sometimes for the farmer's field to be left fallow. But no crops are growing there. It's not producing anything new. That's my point today. There's nothing new growing in the fallow field. And our lives can be like a fallow field. Nothing's planted and nothing new is growing because we've not planted anything in it. We're just ticking over, we're just surviving, but there's no sign of anything new. Folks, God's plan for our lives are to prosper us and not to harm us. They're to give us a hope and a future. They're not for us to be just surviving and ticking over. They're for us to be filled with power flowing out of our belly into the situations that we face. Yes, there'll be tough times, but we're meant to be conquerors, more than conquerors. I remember several years ago now, at one of our healing meetings, this lady came up to me for prayer at the end. And she said, Sandra, I have been trying to clear my life of rubbish for 10 years now. For 10 years, I've been praying and I've been breaking all the negatives off, all the rejection, all the hurt, everything that happened in my childhood or my marriage breakdown or whatever it was. I really can't remember the details. But it was 10 years of getting rid of the rubbish so that her life could be better. And she was just one of the saddest ladies I'd ever seen. I said, well, I don't have any answers, but let's pray. So the minute I closed my eyes and the minute I started to pray, I instantly got a vision. And I saw a square field in front of her. And the soil was like powder. It was amazing. Now, I can remember looking out at my dad. We'd be doing the garden. He'd have the onions planted. He'd have the furrows for the potatoes. He'd have planks of wood that he'd walk on to stop him walking on the soil. And there wouldn't be a stone in it. This field that I saw for this lady, there was not a weed. There was not a stone, a rock, a pebble. It was almost like she'd sifted the soil. It was perfect. And I looked at this perfect field. I said, you have done a perfect job in the last 10 years of getting rid of all the rubbish and the weeds and the rocks and boulders in your life. But God also showed me one more thing. The field was empty. There was nothing growing in it. So she'd spent all of her time getting rid of all the negatives, and she hadn't planted one positive thing. She hadn't said anything positive about herself. She hadn't said anything positive about her life. She hadn't said anything positive about her future. She had just got rid of the negatives, and she'd said nothing positive. And I said to her, you need to go and start speaking positively about yourself, about your life, and start planting things that you want to see grow. And she hadn't done that. So here's a revelation. Yes, seeds and negative words will choke the good things in our lives, but an empty field won't produce a harvest. It just won't. So yes, we need to stop the negative talk. Absolutely, that's like stage number one. Zip the lip sometimes, Sandra. Stop the negative talk. But we also need to start to plant the positive seeds. We need to speak positively and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God does love me, for God so loved Sandra that he gave his only begotten son. We need to start speaking the positives about his relationship and how he feels about us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me. You know, God will turn my mourning into dancing. Whatever it is, whatever the positive thing we need to start to speak it out. I don't know about you, but I don't want a fallow life. I want rivers of living water to flow. I want the new things that God's got for me. I want a way through the desert. So here's another prophetic word today for someone listening. It's time to break up the fallow ground and let the river flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow and he'll start to plant seeds for you. Speaking in tongues prepares the ground for what God wants to do. Speaking in tongues prepares us for what God wants to do. Tongues will break up that fallow ground and saturate it with rivers of living water and rivers of life. When the Spirit flows, the new thing starts to grow in us. Tongues also plants the new seeds that God wants to grow in our lives. So are we preparing the ground to see a new thing? Are we speaking in tongues? Because speaking in tongues isn't just a spiritual tick box, something to check off our list. It's a powerful weapon that God has given us to be used. So are we using it? It would be more than sad. It would be tragic to get to heaven and realize we could have had the new thing all along. All along, and we didn't have it because we didn't plant it. We could have had more. If only we'd realize if only we'd released the living water on the fallow ground by speaking in tongues, we could have had the new thing. I think tongues is one of the most underutilized gifts in the church today. I think there's the majority, a high percentage of Christians that will go for days on end and not even speak in tongues. Not using tongues is like getting a gift for Christmas and never taking it out of the box. So here's just to close, here's a few facts about tongues. You can write these scriptures down if you want. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. So speaking in tongues builds us up. We're the ones that get edified. We're the ones that get made stronger. It's like going to a spiritual gym and doing some spiritual press-ups, you know. We'll come out stronger than Arnold or Stallone. It makes us spiritually strong. It does us good every time. It can never harm us. You cannot do it too much. Folks, if it can't harm us and it can only do us good, why aren't we using it more? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels. Tongues is an angelic language. The angels speak it and Satan doesn't understand it. So it means he can't interfere. He can't interfere in whatever it is God's wanting to plant in our life. It's way over his head. We're one step ahead of the enemy when we speak in tongues. That's good enough for me. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. He who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him in the spirit, he speaks a mystery. Just hang on a wee minute, I'll go to my handbag. I'll get my mobile phone out. It's a special one, it's a gold one. It's a direct line to God. Would anybody like it today? First hand up gets a direct line to God. Jackie was the first hand, so you all have to wait in line now. So the gold phone, direct line to God. Who wouldn't want that? Hello? He's put it on the inside of us. Speaking in tongues is a direct line to God. You don't have to go and raid my handbag for it. You have it. We don't have to wait in line. We've got it. Okay, direct line to God. Our spirit and God's Holy Spirit talking to each other. Yeah, last one. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. So tongues is direct communication with our spirit to God's. And it doesn't engage your mind at all. The benefits of tongues is absolutely endless. We may not know what we're saying, but God does because he created it. It is his language. Tongues is direct communication between us and God. The Holy Spirit is our secret weapon, and tongues is the trigger that sets it off. If we don't know the power we have, then it's time we did and started using it. Don't let a weapon of power sit in the driveway of our lives, gathering dust. God empowered us at Pentecost, and his Spirit has never left us. It's time to break up the fallow ground and let rivers of living water flow in tongues. Speaking in tongues allows life to flow. Speaking in tongues allows power to flow. God's done all the hard work for us. All we have to do is open our mouth and speak. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm just going to finish with a word of prayer. If anyone wants any part of that, you want any revelation about this, then stand with me now, because I'm always wanting revelation about what God's wanting to say or do in my life. Let's pray. Father, we just come right now and we just ask you for revelation. Revelation of the new thing you want to do in our lives. If you need a new thing, then you should definitely be standing. Lord, give us a revelation right now of the new thing. And it could be you already know, it could already be the heart's desire that you have. Because 99.9% of the time, the heart's desire is put there by God. So, Father, give us a revelation of the new thing you want to do in our lives by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, explode on the inside today and this week and this month as we decide we're going to pray in tongues more. And I pray for an explosion of your power. And give us that desire to speak in tongues more. Rise up on the inside and flow like rivers of living water and bring life right now into our situation. No one in God should be walking around half dead, just surviving. When he's provided life in Pentecost, and we can have it every day in Jesus' name.